Hello, this is Anvati. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Thursday, July 24th, and coming up in today's episode. Supreme Court drops Karnataka High Court over bail to actor Darshan in murder case. Yes Bank loan irregularities lead ED to uncover a Rs 3,000 crore bribery fraud and schemes linked to Anil Ambani firms. Rishabh Pant ruled out a fourth test after injury. And 12 killed in Thailand-Cambodia border clash. The Supreme Court on Thursday came down heavily against the Karnataka High Court for granting bail to actor Darshan Thokudeep, who is one of the main accused in the alleged kidnapping and murder of 33-year-old Renuka Swami in June of last year. The high-profile murder case had drawn a lot of media scrutiny. However, Darshan got bail eventually. Calling the High Court's decision for the bail a perverse exercise of judicial power, a bench of Justices J.B. Pardiwala and R. Mahadevan expressed strong reservations about the reasoning behind the 2024 December bail order. This marks the second time in a week the top High Court has criticized the Karnataka High Court's handling of the matter. During the latest hearing, Justice Pardiwala said, and I'm quoting, "We will not give any judgment for conviction or acquittal," unquote, while addressing the counsel for Pavitra Gowda, who is also an accused in the case. In fact, it is Pavitra Gowda, allegedly because of whom Renuka Swami was killed. The bench questioned whether the High Court's bail order effectively resembled an acquittal, noting concern with the language used. Quote, "Don't you think the High Court declared an order of acquittal?" Justice Pardiwala asked, adding the manner in which the High Court dictated the order, "Very sorry to say, does the High Court dictate the same kind of order in other cases?" The judges were particularly critical of the High Court's observation that grounds of arrest were not furnished in what they describe as a serious murder case. Quote, "A trial court judge making such a mistake is acceptable, but a High Court judge? Prima facie perverse order, this is," Justice Pardiwala said. The Supreme Court also questioned the Karnataka government's approach to the case after it was told the trial would be conducted daily. Quote, "Why this case? What about other under trials who've been waiting for years?" Justice Pardiwala asked. The state informed the court that the trial is expected to be completed within 6 months. Darshan and 13 others are currently in custody for the alleged murder of Renuka Swami. The victim, according to the investigation, had reportedly sent offensive messages to actor Pavitra Gowda, a friend of Darshan. He was then allegedly kidnapped, assaulted and killed. The details of the killing were quite brutal. He had been beaten up with rods and his body was manhandled and mutilated. His body was later then discovered on June 9th in a stormwater drain. The case continues to draw national attention as proceedings unfold in the country's highest court. Confirming Indian cricket fans and maybe the team's worst fears, wicketkeeper batter Rishabh Pant is set to miss the remainder of the ongoing test series against England after suffering a foot injury on day one of the fourth test at Old Trafford. The 26-year-old was taken off field on a golf cart after injuring himself while attempting a reverse sweep against England pacer Chris Wokes. According to a report in the Indian Express, scans confirmed that Pant has sustained a fracture and has been advised 6 weeks of rest. Quote, "The scan report showed a fracture and is ruled out for 6 weeks. A BCCI source told the newspaper, adding that the medical team is trying to see if he can come out to bat again by taking a painkiller. He still needs support to walk, though the chances of his batting look very bleak. Pant's absence has left India with a significant gap both behind the stumps and in the batting order. Dhruv Jurel has taken over wicket-keeping duties for the remainder of the Manchester Test, but under the rules will not be allowed to bat in the ongoing match. This leaves India effectively one batter short, heading into the crucial phases of the game. Looking ahead to the fifth and final test at the Oval, which begins on 31st of July, Ishan Kishan is reportedly being considered as a replacement. The left-hander, who has featured in limited over formats for India, may be drafted in as a cover. India are already struggling with multiple injury concerns, with Nitish Kumar Reddy, Akash Deep, Arshdeep Singh all unavailable due to fitness issues, further disrupting the team's balance. Former Australian captain Ricky Ponting, who has worked closely with Pant at the Delhi Capitals in the IPL, shared his concerns during commentary on Sky Sports. Quote, "He hardly put his foot on the ground. The immediate swelling is a worry for me. Those metatarsal bones are small and fragile. It doesn't look good at all." Unquote. Former England skipper Michael Atherton also remarked that the severity of the injury, suggesting Pant's absence could shift the momentum. Quote, "If he's out of the series, it's a massive blow for India. You don't get carted off unless it's serious." Unquote. The injury cast a shadow over the India's push to seal the series with the final test looming. The Enforcement Directorate or ED has alleged that senior officials of Yes Bank sanctioned loans totaling nearly 3,000 crore rupees to companies led by industrialist Anil Ambani between 2017 and 2019 without following due process and in exchange for bribes. The ED's investigation, based on two FIRs filed by the Central Bureau of Investigation or CBI, points to a well-planned and calculated scheme, including bribery, diversion of funds, and fraudulent financial practices. The probe centers on loans given to Raga companies. These are a part of the Reliance Anil Ambani group, where investigators say procedures were bypassed or manipulated. According to sources, the ED has uncovered evidence of an illegal quid pro quo arrangement in which Yes Bank promoters allegedly received payments through privately held entities shortly before approving the loans. Officials say the loan process showed serious violations, including backdated documents, lack of credit evaluation, and lending to firms with weak financials. Some loans were disbursed even before formal sanction. Others were approved the same day applications were submitted. Several red flags have been identified, such as overlapping directors and registered addresses across borrower companies, missing documentation, and routing of funds to shell firms. The ED also noted a case of evergreening, where fresh loans were issued to repay old debts in breach of loan terms. As part of the investigation, the agency has carried out searches at over 35 locations and examined records from more than 50 associated firms. More than 25 individuals have been questioned so far. The case has drawn input from multiple regulators and financial bodies, including SEBI, the National Financial Reporting Authority, and National Housing Bank, as well as Bank of Baroda. A report by SEBI raised concerns over Reliance Home Finance Limited, RHFL, stating that its corporate loan book almost doubled in just 1 year, from 3,742 crore rupees in 2017-18 to 8,670 crore rupees in 2018-19. In a separate development, the State Bank of India has classified Reliance Communications and Mr. Ambani himself as fraud accounts. This is not the first time the designation has been applied. A previous fraud declaration by SBI in 2020 led to a complaint with the CBI, which was later withdrawn after a Delhi High Court order. The ED's inquiries continue. Fighting between Thai and Cambodian forces intensified on Thursday, resulting in the death of at least 12 people, mostly civilians, according to a report by the BBC. The clashes occurred in a disputed border region along long marred by tension and competing territorial claims. Thailand has responded by launching airstrikes against Cambodian military positions, while Cambodia reportedly fired rockets and artillery into Thai territory. One of the Cambodian shells is said to have struck a house in Thailand's Surin province, killing civilian and injuring three others, including a five-year-old child. According to news agency AFP, the confrontation flared near the Tam Wen and Ta Kwai temples in the Surin province, close to Cambodia's Odar Makheni region, an area that lies within the contested Emerald Triangle where the borders of Thailand, Cambodia, and Laos converge. Six Thai F-16 fighter jets were scrambled from Ubon Ratchathani province, hitting two Cambodian military targets on the ground, said Thai military deputy spokesperson Richa Suksuwanan. The Thai military claimed Cambodian forces initiated the clash after a drone was spotted over a Thai post. Thai troops warned a group of six armed Cambodian soldiers, but by 8:20 a.m. local time, Cambodian forces allegedly opened fire near the Matwen Temple, near the Tam Wen Temple, about 200 meters from the Thai side. Cambodia, however, accused Thailand of violating its sovereignty. Quote, "The Thai military violated the territorial integrity of the Kingdom of Cambodia by launching an armed assault on Cambodian forces stationed to defend the nation's sovereign territory," since Defense Ministry spokeswoman Malai Sokheta, as quoted by AFP. She stated Cambodia's actions were an act of legitimate self-defense. In response to the escalation, Thailand closed all border crossings with Cambodia and urged Thai nationals in the country to return home as soon as possible, unless necessary to stay. Tensions escalated further after Thailand expelled the Cambodian ambassador and recalled its own envoy. Cambodia in turn downgraded diplomatic relations, pulling out of its diplomats from Bangkok. The dispute also triggered domestic issues with Thailand, with acting Prime Minister Phum Tham stated, "The situation requires careful handling. We must act in accordance with the international law." The conflict follows claims by Thailand that Cambodia laid new landmines along the border, which Phom Phae denies. The area has seen periodic flares up for decades, including violent clashes in May of this year. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the news with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV news app. This is your host Anvati, signing off.